We greet you this morning in Jesus' name. I have been very blessed already with the emphasis this morning, which we all expected to hear about the resurrection. It's an amazing thing. It's an awesome thing. What happened that day, 2,000 years ago? It's true that probably some of those people, maybe all of them, that were putting their faith and their trust in Him, when he was there on the cross, they were probably pretty, I don't know if it's discouraged, but they probably had some doubts or some wonderments and said, "What is going on? What is going on?" This man they followed there for 3.5 years, some of them didn't. They followed for 3.5 years or so, and here he was now, crucified. He is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. I don't know why God, for 4,000 years more or less, kept this thing that he told his people only briefly about, secret. This redemption that he was going to do, this thing that the prophets pointed to and where what the angels desired to look into, I think Hebrews tells us. Why did God do that? For 4,000 years he didn't reveal what his plan was. Back there in the garden, he said it bruised the serpent's head, the serpent would bruise the Lord's heel. Why? I don't know if we need to answer that. I don't know if there is an answer. Maybe it's just because he wanted us to just believe. He wanted those people back there to obey, to have faith and to trust him. Maybe, I don't know. But we look at it today, and here he is. We're looking back, so it's easy to look back and see all kinds of things. But at the time, as the people walked through that thing, and all up until the cross, people wondered. It was unclear. Now, we're 2,000 years past. We look back. And I wept this morning over the fact he did it for me. The Lord is risen. Risen from what? What did the Lord rise from? He rose out of the grave. He arose a conquering death. Death could not hold him. The devil with all his designs could not keep him. He arose out of that and he was victorious. He was all victorious. There's nothing that could keep him. It was clear. He was the master. It was clear. He was God Almighty. It was clear that the devil was under him. That's what Jesus did when he rose. He rose from the power of the devil. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be caught in addictions. We don't have to be caught in things that are not our fault. Experiences we don't have any control over. He came to set us free. And he did it. He was underneath everything we could be. All sin, all addiction, anything. He took it all. He was under all that. He was dead. So I'd like to talk this morning just a bit about the cross. I don't know how good this title is. I have a couple here. I'll give you this one, The Healing Power of the Cross. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he records, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." This is what the Lord himself said was his duty, was his job. Amplified says it this way: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed and broken down by calamity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and this is what he was sent to do. The cross is central to all the eternal plan of God since the fall of man. Everything in God's plan for redemption, in God's plan for mankind, it all pointed to the cross. It all did. Even you go back and look at the sacrifices and all those things that God wanted his people to do. It all pointed to the cross. It pointed to the ultimate supreme sacrifice. It all pointed through sacrifices to one sacrifice where eventually he would show. Every redemptive effort from man and to man goes through the cross. The cross is the avenue we walk on for healing, for redemption, for salvation. In Revelation 13, verse 8, he says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Someday, everything is going to be under him. Now he's given us a choice. The world has a choice. Someday they'll have no choice. Every knee shall bow. Every name that's not written and every name that is written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world will worship. This happening, this circumstance, this incident was not accidental. It was not an afterthought. God knew that man would fall into sin in the garden. There was a plan behind the creation of man. God knew man would need a way to clear himself. God knew it would be necessary for his created masterpiece to be justified in returning to fellowship with him. He would need something that would bring him back into fellowship with him. God knew that. He was too holy to allow a mere sacrifice offered by man through the offering up of animals and to suffice for redemption. God wanted to do that. He just simply was rolling it back, just keeping it back. That's why they sacrificed those animals. He obviously did allow the opportunity to remain open through the animal sacrifices to postpone the final judgment. Those people back there, I believe that they were not condemned because they didn't believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus gave them an opportunity. Somehow, if he's there when he was in the grave, he went to preach his spirits in prison. I don't know. But I believe that every man has an option. God didn't postpone or hold off this great incident and then leave people without an option, without a choice. I believe God, somehow or another, all those people back there had a choice somehow. I don't know how God's going to do that. I have no idea. But I just do believe that. Those animal sacrifices did not give man the power and life God wanted man to have. As we remember the crucifixion, the past few days, we've walked through that in our hearts and our minds with Jesus through his final hours. We thought about it last Friday night. We thought about those things of the cross and the crucifixion and the death and the sacrifice he made. The garden, there it was, the weeping, the betrayal. Follow through with me. This is what we want to get a picture of as we consider what the cross does and what it did. the garden, the weeping, the betrayal, the scourging, the weakened knee that he fell, the cross, the crucifixion. It marvels me every time I read it, I think. And it just simply says in black and white words, and they crucified him. They crucified him. They didn't just do a humane way of putting him to death. They crucified him. Just like the hardened criminals of the day. They crucified him. The agony, the pain, the rejection, dying. Both physically and spiritually. Maybe not spiritually. Maybe I should take that back a bit. But I believe that there's something to that. Because he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know, if you slow down long enough to think about what he did and the things that happened there, and you begin to realize what's going on, something will shift in your mind. It stops being something that happened long ago. It starts to feel like it was meant for. Slow down long enough to just think about that. All those things he went through. Stop and think, why? And you begin to realize something happens in your heart. It does in mine. I'm sure it does in yours too. Something happens. And you realize that was not just an accident. That is not something that just was history. That starts to feel like it was meant for you. Some of you understand this better than some others of us. Some of us don't understand it. You may even be born again, love the Lord, and not fully comprehend what he did. I think that I'm in that class. Some of you may not be born again. But as we sit and as we think about what he did, the reason he did it, who he did it for, why he did it, it begins to dawn on you that this is not just a story we read in the Bible. It's not just a story. It's more than history detailed. It begins to become a realization that an eternal and holy God is doing something. And he wants something from you. Maybe I should finish my drawing. I didn't know how well it would turn out. Looks like it didn't turn out too well. This says condemned. This says Jesus. This says forgiven. These men on that, as we walk along here, I'm just going to draw a little stick man here. He's walking along. The first thing he comes to realization, that's where we need to get to, is we actually realize that we are condemned. That we don't have a way to justify ourselves before God. And we were simply born in sin, and we simply have to recognize that. That's where we are. At some point in our life, right there, because we are condemned. We don't have hope. We're walking along here and we come to this first cross. That man on the cross, you remember him. I don't know which side he was on. I put him on this side. He said, you saved yourself. No, if he said that, what? He looked over at Jesus and said, save us. Bring us down, if you will. I forget what he said. I should have looked that up a little more. He said, his point was, we don't have any hope. This man walks on no farther and he realizes this. And he takes this attitude, if I can draw it here. This man, realizing he's condemned, we come to the cross. He's supposed to be praying on his knees there. I don't know what he looks like down there. But we come to the cross. And we have, here we have, I'm going to put up here, this man, I put above the cross. Sinful. He's lost. He may even have some pride in his heart. He realizes he's condemned. He walks on no farther and he realizes he sees Jesus. He finds himself realizing he needs to repent. He kneels down in prayer. He expresses his sorrow. Ultimately, he worships. This man, when he sees Jesus on the cross for what he did, that's what he does. This man represents, this says forgiven. If you can read that or not. Forgiven. This is the man that said, don't you know what kind of a condition we're in? And he asked Jesus to save him. I forget how he said it now. And Jesus said, when I come in my kingdom, I forget how he said it, but it seems to me like he forgave that man. So this man now, he comes across, and I don't know if I can do this to portray anything very much. This man is jubilant, triumphant. He's a happy, joyful, forgiven man. He is saved. He is healed. And I think it'd be true to say he's humbled. As he walks on, this out here now is the resurrected life. I'm sure an artist could have done this better, but somehow or another, this is glory up here. This is not even necessarily after death for us. This is after this. It's also after death. That is a picture of a man as he comes to know what the cross does for him. He's walking along. He realizes he's condemned. He realizes he's sinful. He's lost. He may even have some pride in him. Most of us do. He comes to the cross of Jesus and he realizes what Jesus did. He worships. He repents. He prays. He's sorrowful for his sins. He goes away from that cross like this man did, saved, healed, and humbled into a resurrected life. As you continue, as you're kneeling there at the cross, it begins to dawn on you that it's not just a story. I've already said that. You realize that it's more than history detailed. It begins to become a realization of an eternal holy God is wanting something from you. You realize this is an opportunity that should never have happened by my own merit, by my own goodness. This should never have happened. You have a hard time making sense of it. It's neither reasonable nor logical. But you realize that this is a plan intended to include you. Not because you've gained some favor, but because of something else. In your effort to understand, you begin to realize that there's something else here, and that's love. Holy God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And he did. It becomes, as you sit and ponder, as I sat and pondered, it becomes an almost unbelievable opportunity. Almost unbelievable opportunity. This life, there's more to this life than this life, and there's more to life than death. There's something more going on. And God Almighty, the eternal creator of heaven and earth, the creator of you and me, He has a plan. And this is the plan. Everything points to the cross. He paid the price. He gave himself a sacrifice. He died for me to live. He did. He died for me to live. For me, part of the reason I suppose this message comes from me is because I know I need it so much. I know I need to think more. I need to be more aware of Christ's sacrifice for me daily. I need to be. I know I do. Just simply thankful. I know we got to think about other things, all those things. We know all that. And we know that the basis of our life is based on the Christian principles. And amen to that. But I'm talking about really now. The rewards that's to come, and I have no idea what they are. The price Christ paid for me. And I get caught up in other things. I forget. Maybe we don't forget, because as soon as it's mentioned, we immediately know it's there. But I'm just talking about that underlying awareness. I am a child of God. He has called me his own because of what he did for me. I'd like it to become, for myself, more of a passion. More of a personal thing to me. I'd like it to become more and more of a, that's what I think about. That's what comes out of my mouth. That's what I always turn to. I don't turn to some of the things that maybe I could, I don't want to some of the things I could, like even discouragement. I don't turn to somebody else to help me lift me up. Not saying we can help each other up. Not taking that away from anybody. But let's turn to him. I want it to become an obsession, an insatiable desire to find relief from the oppression and lostness you feel and know is there if you have not come to that cross. And as you, if you feel that, if you just put yourself in that position a bit and you find yourself, there's no escape. I can't get out of this. There's no way except for the cross. I told you, I said earlier, every redemptive effort from man and to man goes through the cross. Every redemptive effort from us to God, from God to us, must go through the cross. I cannot, for myself, I cannot do anything. There's nothing, I cannot be anything that I need to be accepted of God, but by the cross of Christ, because of what he did for me. And God, because of the cross, because of Jesus' death, because of his sacrifice he made, through Christ, through that death on the cross, he gives me what I need. Everything to and from man in redemption goes through the cross. God has his eye on you. God's watching. He knows. God has his eye on you to keep you, to save you, to protect you. He wants you, because of the cross, because of what he's done, he wants you to make a commitment to him. He wants you to commit your heart, your soul, your life. Jesus said one place, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. I cannot approach God without what Jesus did on the cross. That and that alone is the way and my hope. And the cross is an example of how I relate to God. Humble, death to self, self-sacrificing, dying to me, and alive to him. He's my life. He's my life. What he says, I do. What he says not to do, I don't do. I trust him that that this victory I can experience will come from Him. Him alone. It's not because of my stubbornness or my strength or my will. It's because I come humble before God. I go through the cross, and He comes back through the cross to me. I am not qualified, nor do I have any merit to justify myself into His presence. Jesus alone makes the way. Paul speaking here, God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I take any credit to myself. God forbid that I have any kind of idea of I'm kind of good. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the only way through the cross. By whom, and Paul goes on, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Worldly things, worldly ambitions, worldly thoughts, whether they be just prideful thoughts or my life be consumed with the things of life. Just consumed. That's what I live for. This thing. Paul says that the world is crucified unto him by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is crucified to the world. In other words, he is dead to the world, the world's dead to him, and he's dead to the world. That's what he said. Because of the cross of Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he's talking here, I think, about the Jews and the Gentiles, but he said he's having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, containing ordinances to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The cross is the avenue we walk on for healing. That avenue right there, we walk through the cross right there. We come to the cross. We accept Jesus as our Savior. Through that, when I turn to Jesus like that thief on the other side did, he was forgiven. So must we. Cross is the avenue we have for healing. Let me read 1 Peter 1. I'll begin in verse 3. You can turn if you'd like. I'd like to read a little bit. Just simply to, it's amazing when you look at what Christ did for us and the cross. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. According to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, a live hope, a hope that's real, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's some truth in that. We know that. I mean, we may be in heaviness through manifold temptations, but the reason that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what we have. That's what we can take home with us. That's what we can bring into our hearts. We can say, though we be tried with fire, though it be hard, though we don't always get what we want and we have to deal with things, sometimes we have temptations and we struggle. But he said, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What more could you ask for? Your living soul is saved eternally because of Christ, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, talked about this earlier, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. That salvation, the prophesied have inquired, they wondered, what's all this mean? And they searched and tried to understand, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 1 Corinthians says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Again, we begin to realize more and more that this cross, what Jesus did there, and is the central part, it is center, it is foremost, it is why we have life, it is why we have hope. This cross is the way of salvation. We believe in the cross. We believe in what Jesus did. We believe it. We don't have any doubt. Don't let anybody ever take it away from you. We believe Jesus Christ died on that cross 2,000 years ago, and he died for me, he died for you, and he went down into the grave. His body was dead. Three days later, he told him it'd be this way. 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Glory. Glory. Amen. That's what Jesus did. We remember that. We remember that today. We remember that nothing could hold him. He was conqueror over all. He ruled over everything. When Satan was cast out of prison, he was cast out by the very power that he had to do that. The same power is what arose that gave him power to rise from the dead. Nothing could stop him. He was victorious. He was power over death, power over the grave, power over sin, power over addictions, power over everything. Christ has that power. Nothing is bigger than Christ. Nothing is stronger than him. Nothing. So, for us, let's never think, I don't know how we can ever deal with this thing in our life. I don't know about that. I don't know. It's not right. Jesus can, and he will, overcome anything in your life. We said the title of this message was The Healing Power in the Cross. That's what we're getting to. We're getting to the healing power that we have in the cross. In Isaiah 53, he said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, this is amplified, needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. Those things he went through that we needed to obtain peace was upon him. He did that. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed. Okay. Let me go on. The stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Jesus talking to Martha one day, before Lazarus was resurrected, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Jesus asked her, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe it? He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, excuse me, chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. He was wounded, you know. The truth is, I think this would be true. We all carry wounds. We all carry wounds. We have wounds and scars and hurts and pains that we do. Some more than others. Some are old. Some of those wounds are old. Some of those wounds are fresh. Some have been buried so deep you've almost fooled yourself into thinking they're gone. The sting of words that can never be taken back. The grief that still hits you out of nowhere. The rejection that left a mark nobody sees. The guilt you carry for things you wish you could do over. But you were never meant to carry this alone. That's why Jesus died. That's why the cross. There's healing power in the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. And the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. By his wounds. By his wounds. By Jesus dying. We must believe. We must hold on to that belief. This is what can heal me. This is what heals me. It is the cross of Christ. It is his death, his resurrection. It's what he did. It's that whole plan. This is what can heal me. It doesn't say, the verse does not say, by his wounds the strong are healed, or the ones who deserve it are healed, or the ones who have it all together are healed, or the ones who don't have any insecurities are healed, or the ones who are working through understanding themselves are healed. Just, we are healed. Now, when God looked down at his children, he wants to see children who are trusting him. Children who are healed by his grace, by his power, by his resurrection. He wants to see children who believe that. Yes, I am healed. So these things that come upon excuse me. These things that come upon me, these things, if I could dare say, the devil throws at us, we have protection. We have the cross. We have kneeled down there. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He says to that one thief there. That's the kind of people God wants to have from us. That's what he wants from us. I am whole because Jesus did it. Do I have some imperfections? Do I have some things to work on? Do I have some struggles? Yes. But he still says, we're healed. We're able to be here in his presence. He takes care of that. Every scar, every ache, every hurt you've never said out loud. There's no need to perform, no need to pretend. No need to show up with a perfect heart. Just come as you are. Bring the broken pieces, the regret, the tiredness, the questions that won't go away. Repent of holding on to them and lay them down at the foot of the cross, because that's exactly where healing starts. Right there at the foot of the cross. That's exactly where the resurrection happens. You know, here's a thought for you. Did Jesus go to the cross because we deserved it? Or did he go because he loved us? Maybe both. I don't know. But one thing I do know, he loved us. Still does. I don't know how to express it. If he could walk in here this morning, he could walk down this aisle, I'm going to suggest to you he'd look like any other person. And he could sit down beside of you. I like to think you would feel, no, not literally feel, but you would feel, well, maybe literally feel something. You'd feel love. You'd feel acceptance. You'd feel forgiveness. You'd feel care. I think that's who Jesus is. And I'm going to suggest to you that maybe he is here. Maybe he does know everything about your life. Maybe he does know all your struggles. Maybe he does know what you've done right and what you've done wrong. He does. But he still will give you that feeling, I don't know if it's the right word, of love and acceptance. That's who Jesus is. And then when we accept that, again, that's the resurrected life. That's the life that comes through the cross. I let the cross be there. I accept what Jesus did. I come to the end of myself and I say, Lord, here is me. I deserve everything that first man has, this condemned man. But I'm coming to you. And I'm asking you for healing. I'm asking you for health. I'm asking you for power and strength to live a holy life. And he gives it. You ask, and he told that man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, that's what Jesus does for us. He didn't tell you and he didn't tell us that we would have no more troubles. All will be just a peaceful life. In fact, I don't know if I quoted earlier, I forget. He said, unless a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So as I look at my life, and I realize I have a responsibility. I realize that the devil is still alive, and he's still coming at me. That's true. That's a fact. We all know that. But I also realize that I can have the power over that devil. I can win. I can overcome. Because Jesus died on the cross. And obviously he had to be resurrected. I believe that the cross is a central thing in the plan of salvation. The resurrection, obviously, that's vitally, absolutely necessary. But the resurrection would never have been there if there had been no cross. So we come, putting it a little more practical into our lives. We come, we say, okay, I believe that. This is what the Bible says. I believe everything in here. I believe everything that Jesus said, I want to do and trying to do everything he said and not do the things he said not to do. This is my heart. This is where I'm going. Lord, forgive me. Save me. Help me to live a righteous, holy life. And then we go out and we try to live that way. We put every effort into it. Our effort, it takes an effort. But I also want to say, and I don't know if I've emphasized it good enough or right enough, but I have to believe it's more than just doing. I have to believe. I have to have faith. And when I do, I get power. I get the ability to overcome. I get, in some senses, my questions answered. You know, we've seen people sick and they pray and they anoint and we do all these things and it seems like they just die anyway. I'm going to suggest to you that there still can be a healing taking place that Jesus is talking about. The healing is that, for one thing, it may just simply be acceptance. Okay, Lord, I accept. It's amazing what acceptance does. When you quit fighting and start accepting, things begin to... So, we have a life ahead of us. It's not going to be without trials. It's going to have some struggles. But never forget, and I know we don't, but I just need to say it. Never forget, it is the cross. It is Jesus on the cross. It is that sacrifice, that he made. And by making that sacrifice out of his love for his Father and out of his willingness to do whatever his Father asked, he was given power of the resurrection power. He was given power to overcome death and live a life eternally. We have the same opportunity. So, no, not life without trials. Not life without wrestles, temptations, not life that way, but life that as I trust Him, as I believe Him, as I walk with Him, that life of overcoming, that life of having a reassurance deep in our heart, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I will someday stand with Him. In that latter day, I forget how it says it there. I know that. So, not life without trials. And so I leave you with this question. It's a question you can ponder. Where are you? Where are you? Are your sins, temptations getting the best of you? Are you overcoming, or are they overcoming you? Are you trusting in that resurrected Jesus? Believing Him? Have you received the commendation from the man on the cross that was forgiven? Do you believe it? I wanted to sing a song. I think we all know it. It's Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. I think it was, is that 889? I thought I wrote it here, but I don't see it. Yes, 889. Let's, as we sing this song, try to understand a bit. It's just a couple words, or a couple, one verse. As we sing this song, let's do what He says and let happen what He's talking about here.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Let's sing it again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Let's stand for prayer. Father, we come to You this morning and we are thankful, so thankful, eternally thankful for the cross and all of its healing powers, for the resurrection that today He lives. He lives forevermore and He's never to die again. And we have the same hope. Thank You, Father, for that. It's beyond our deserving. It's almost beyond our comprehension. But we thank You, Father, for doing what You did for us. And now, Father, we pray, Lord, You ask from us just everything we have, and that's all. Not any more, not any less. You ask us to give You our life, our will, our hope. And so, Father, this morning, as we stand before You, Lord, that it might be truly that we would give those things to You in maybe new and fresh ways from now on. Help us, Lord. And we pray, Father, in the name of the One who died on the cross, rose again, and is now triumphant, seated there at Your right hand. And all the world You have given to Him, all the power, it's all in His hands. We worship Him this morning for Your glory, and in His name, amen.